And welcome once again, boys and girls, to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning, mid-afternoon, or whenever you decide to hear an encore of this fabulous presentation, coffee break, iced tea break, Diet Coke break, or whatever is your pleasure. You have definitely picked a good time to turn your listening device on, as we have a regular guest here in the studio, and with the change of seasons approaching, I think it's a good time to speak with him. He's a regular guest, and he's got a common-sounding name, but a very uncommon set of skills, and that's why we love having him, because we always learn something, and we, of course, laugh a little bit, too, and that's obviously the most important thing in this crazy world that we live in, and of course, that would be not other than Mr. James Anderson, the official naturalist for Marion County and anywhere else in a 100-mile radius. So, James, thank you again for being with us on this lovely day for a broadcast, and how are you doing out there in Radio Land?
Oh, just wonderful.
Good. Well, that's good. Just wonderful is a great, succinct answer, and we're all ready to talk about the flora and fauna that we share this part of the world and solar system with. Now, last time, James, we had the intern who was such a great intern that he came back for an encore in 23, Mr.
Yes.
Jonah Bowdle, and I guess now he is officially matriculated at Ohio State Marion, and I'm sure he will do very well and have a great career, possibly as a veterinarian, he mentioned, or working for a zoo or a similar type of facility. I guess next year you're going to have to get a new intern, right?
Yes, that we will.
And do you think it's going to be possible to get someone as knowledgeable and as diligent as Jonah? Can we actually outdo ourselves at intern quality?
You know, all the interns I've had, they brought their own unique piece to the table. I mean, definitely Jonah, I really enjoyed him. I actually learned a lot from him, especially, keeping reptiles, because I've mentioned before, we've adopted a Russian tortoise from Jonah. So anytime I have a question or need advice to help take care of my tortoise, I say, hey, Jonah, what's your opinion? So, yeah, he's been a wonderful resource. Of course, I've had other interns that have been very good, in different areas and natural resources. So, yeah, it's always interesting to see what they can bring to the table. But, yeah, we'll start that whole process next winter. So we're always looking for high school students or college students. We're always looking for people who want to help or want to work for us for the summertime.
Jonah B., certainly the expert on turtles, amphibians, reptiles, and almost anything else in between. And it was great having him on the program last time. Now, with the change of seasons approaching, James, not unexpectedly, it's a pretty busy time for the Marion County Park District, as we still have summer. I'm a northerner, so I mean, summer to me lasts until almost Thanksgiving. Some people with a more southern approach might already think to get out their winter coat and stock up on the salt and snow shoveling equipment, but however you slice it, James, we have times where it's going to be cooler one day. I wouldn't quite say winter, maybe autumnal one day and 90 degrees the next, and that's typical of late summer in this part of the country. We have lots of great programs, of course, coming up in September, and most of them are free. You can't beat the price. Yeah. All you got to pay is ridiculous price of gas, possibly, to drive to for the location, but we all feel that pain. I want to first go over events that took place this past August, about 10 of them, in fact. Most recently, the Creaking for Critters at the Teradice Nature Preserve. So during that event, James, did you find some interesting critters? Anybody maybe get bitten by something not so friendly? And how did that go? And how have past, because the Creaking for Critters is a regular program, I believe, how have past events gone when people have kind of gotten their hands and feet dirty and looked around the nature preserve for these critters?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that program just due to personal reasons. But in the past, we've had, of course, a lot of people. Jonah did it in June, and I think he said he had about eight people that showed up. So Oh, it's always interesting because we're always looking for different types of what's called macroinvertebrates, which are creatures without a backbone that you can see with your eye. So you don't need a microscope. So those are primarily insects, clams, mussels. And what's really cool about those animals is they can tell us about the quality of the water. They can tell us if it's excellent, good, or poor, because different water quality will determine if the excellent creatures or the ones that are considered excellent water quality, if they start disappearing, that is showing, hey, something's going on along with your water quality. So there's what's called a biotic indicator. So that's pretty cool that, you know, that those creatures can tell us about, hey, what's going on with the water.
Well, right. You can learn a lot from other animal species, not just, of course, Homo sapiens. In fact, many people prefer animals other than members of the species Homo sapiens. And the creaking for critters certainly is a way to experience that. So sorry that the most recent one did not occur, but in the past, it's been an eventful time. And people learn something and go away with a few more brain cells than they came with. We are speaking with Mr. James Anderson, the official Marion County Park District naturalist and great friend of this station, with his monthly visit to discuss the flora and fauna of the area, as well as events and anything else that we feel like delving into. Yet a morning bird watching program on the 21st, and how did that go? People get up and ready to find some of our fine feathered friends, or what was the diagnosis of the morning bird only watching extravaganza?
One person was brave enough to come out that early. And you know, sometimes we get just one, and other times we get, you know, maybe about five or so. But I know it's early, but that's when the birds are most active.
So when they talk about up with the birds, not kidding, birds do get up early. Did you find anything interesting? Because we've talked about bald eagles, they're no longer considered endangered. Of course, robins and bluebirds are beautiful. You know, pigeons are kind of annoying. What kind of birds did you see?
We saw some, like your regulars that you mentioned, blue jays and robins and cardinals. And then, of course, some of, I guess I call some of the goodies. Some of the vireos, some warbler species. Of course, you know, red-shouldered hawks flying by. So, I mean, that's always good to find some of those extra bird species, because those ones I mentioned, like the warblers and vireos, they are actually starting migrating down to southern United States. Some of them are actually migrating down to South America. Hummingbirds have already started their migration process. So, yeah, you may see hummingbirds now, but as it starts getting cooler and cooler, usually about mid-September, I mean, we really start seeing a very small number of hummingbirds around. So I always tell people, usually about late September, early October, leave your feeders up. And then, I mean, you may have an occasional hummingbird here and there, but usually by late September, most of them are usually gone in our area. Now, if it's really warm, they might stick around because they still think it's summer. But again, usually in that time, on average, it starts cooling down in the evenings and all, so the hummingbirds are not fond of really cool evenings, because you got to think about it, they're a small little bird. They don't have a lot of fat on them, so they can't really survive very well in colder temperatures.
So essentially, even though it's still the warm season, these birds get an early start. So mid to late August, they start their migration to points south. We are getting into hurricane season. Hurricane Idalia was in the news. Do the birds have an instinct where if they're flying south, would they avoid the hurricane? I guess that's kind of always made me wonder, especially a smaller bird like a hummingbird. Do they have an instinct? Can they feel the air pressure decreasing? What happens if they're in the path of a hurricane, or do they have some way of avoiding it where they're getting more favorable weather?
Unfortunately, no, they cannot avoid it. I mean, they can kind of feel some of the different air pressure. They may hunker down in an area, if they feel like a storm is coming. But other than that, you know, they have no radar or anything. So, like, you know, little hummingbirds and monarch butterflies, I mean, they got to trek through the storms. And, you know, when we get, you know, a hurricane coming through during that migration period, unfortunately, yeah, it does impact them. And, you know, then unfortunately in the next season, we see less and less. And then also, too, we also see when hurricanes and tropical storms are, you know, coming through, even, you know, if they push up into Ohio, this is where sometimes we start seeing a lot of rarities. We start seeing things that we typically don't see. Like a couple years ago, we saw a bird. It's called a brown-footed booby. It's mainly found around the eastern coast. Well, heck, it was clear up in Clear Fork, which is up by Crawford County. You know, it shouldn't have been there, but unfortunately, it got injured during the storm. It stayed around the area, and then, unfortunately, it did pass away. So, you know, that does happen. But, you know, it's kind of like the old saying in Jurassic Park, you know, life finds a way. Eventually, yeah, they may get off course for a little bit, but eventually they get back on track, and, you know, and sometimes they do need some help from humans. But overall, I mean, nature does best, you know, taking care of itself.
Yeah, something to think about during the hurricane season, which we're definitely into at this point, kind of coinciding with some of the migration. I've kind of always wondered about that, because these animals have incredible instincts. It's a fascinating,
yes, they sure do.
Yeah, study to see and see exactly if the animals can tolerate this kind of weather. I mean, these hurricanes are pretty intense. During Third Thursday, yeah. James, you guys participate downtown. We saw a lot of photos on social media. So is the Third Thursday something that we do encourage people interested in the wildlife and the native plants of Marion to come and visit, and you and possibly another person will be there to answer questions, do a little show and tell, et cetera?
Yes. And hopefully this last one for the year, hopefully we don't get rained out on. And July, we started about an hour into the event, and then the rainstorm came in. And then this month, we just set up, and then we just saw on the radar that, oh, another round of storms are coming. So we just got out in the nick of time. So, I mean, you know, we can't control the weather, but so I'm hoping the last one we're able to successfully, you know, be throughout the whole event. And yeah, I highly recommend not just to visit us, but, you know, there's a lot of other great local vendors. Of course, you know, a lot of the downtown businesses are open. And this year too, I think how they changed up a little bit, the farmer's market, they incorporated that, because last year they kind of had it on a separate day. But I guess it wasn't very well attended. So I know they kind of tried to combine it this year, which I have heard it has helped. So yeah, definitely, you know, check it out. It's a really, really good time. And of course they have the new little shelter awning, you know, there at Founders Park. So, and they have some tables there. So it's nice because it's kind of away from us vendors. So it's not blasting into people's ears, because that was kind of the issue in the past. But I like this new setup, and I think hopefully it'll help bring in people to explore downtown Marion.
So was this past one the last until spring?
No, one more, September.
Well, okay, yeah,
will be the last one.
September to me is a warm month. Why would they stop it? We have the Popcorn Festival, Labor Day. September is a big month in Marion, and it seems like it would do well with everything else going on during this month. That's kind of somewhere between summer and fall. Again, it's more of a summer month to me. You know, I'll wear shorts until it's snowing. But some people, they see thermometer says 60 degrees and it's broad daylight, and they suddenly think we're back to the ice age. It just kind of depends what your opinion is of the particular time of the year. But certainly with the change of seasons and changeable weather, does make things exciting from a wildlife and nature standpoint. You have these night hikes, James, for those who don't like to get up early, make coffee, and be up with the birds, so to speak. So on the 11th, you had the night hike at the park at the trailhead of the Tallgrass Trail, 9:30 to 11. Does that bring out a different crowd than the morning events? Something that's gone well? Is it too late for some people?
Probably ones for like little children, but overall, yeah, we get a lot of families. So Jonah did that one at the trailhead. And then the other one, I can't remember what the date was at Marion OSU. So yeah, this year we partnered with OSU, at the Yoder Prairie, which is right there next to the science building. They're having issues about people not knowing about that prairie. And, they kind of talked to me, and they're like, hey, you know, we know you're the naturalist, and, you know, you're good at, you know, help people, bringing people into parks or green spaces. And he said, you know, is there a way we can do something? And I said, absolutely, because I always tell people, I mean, yes, my job is to get people to explore the parks that the park district owns, but I also have a big emphasis of having people explore the other green spaces that, you know, the Park District aren't in charge of, like Big Island Wildlife Area, the Yoder Prairie at OSU, and Paradise Nature Center. And, you know, I could go on and on. But I just tell people we are just so blessed and so fortunate that we have such a diversity of different parks / green spaces in Marion County. Because some counties are not very fortunate. They may have just a small handful. But I believe here in Marion, we have a great, great diversity of different places that people can go out and explore, you know, into nature.
So people don't always realize the wildlife opportunities, the nature in the Marion area. And that's why we try to have you on and let folks know, get out and explore the world. You might learn something, and certainly is different than a typical activity you might associate with the area. And it's also good exercise. Walking, definitely good for you, good for all ages. The Kids' Day in Caledonia Square took place in the early part of August. And so, to our friends in the Marion suburb of Caledonia, Ohio, how did that go? A lot of good feedback about the event, participating, etc.
Yeah, Jonah actually participated in that event because actually on that day I was at the Ohio State Fair judging fishing projects for the 4-H project. So that was pretty fun because it was my second year doing it at the state level. So I represented Marion County and I got to judge about 52 fishing projects, all from kids all around Ohio. So it was fun. It was a long day, let's put it that way. But I'm glad Jonah was there to help represent me for the Park District for the Caledonia event. So the mayor, April Morrison, she really thanked Jonah for being there because he brought some of his friends, I think his cockroaches or his one bearded dragon. So people really enjoyed it.
Well, good to bring a cockroach to Caledonia, the Caledonia Cockroach Kid. Let's call him that, perhaps. So you were doing some judging at the Ohio State Fair in the capital city, James. Yep. That's kind of the big time. And is that something that they recruited you for? Did you apply for it? And have you done this in the past? And kind of let me know your story about the participation and your input at the state fair.
Yeah, so for the state level at the state fair, this is my second year now. For probably, I would say, the last 4 or 5 years, I've done the judging projects for the Marion County Fair before the fair started. And their one intern for the Ohio State Extension Office, she moved up to the state level. And so she remembered me that I was a part, you know, of the Marion County judging. And she said, hey, would you be willing to help do it at the state level? I said, well, of course. And I'm very big into it because I did 4-H when I was younger. And I really believe, you know, 4-H and Scouts or any, you know, of those youth organizations, they really help build good character, help bring leadership skills and public speaking skills and just basically life skills that really help enhance a person. And I was just tickled pink, you know, especially last year. Last year I did the tree projects for the 4-H. Projects, and that was really fun. And then sometimes I'll help Delaware County or Morrow County. So I go a lot all over doing a lot of the natural resource projects around Central Ohio.
So you are branching into other areas. So I guess you enjoy doing it. This will be a pretty much annual event for you.
Yeah, as long as they want me. So, you know, they try to switch some of the judges up, especially at the state level. So, because, you know, sometimes you get the same kids. And, of course, we had the kid from Marion County. I didn't get the judge at the Marion County level this year because it was kind of right after my surgery. And I told him my thyroid surgery, and I just told him, I said, I don't want to commit to being a judge because I said, I don't know how I'm going to recover. Because I told him I had the potential of my voice being gone. I said, you may just want to find someone different for this year. I said, you know, for the future, I said I definitely would help participate in. So,
just want to check in briefly. So your recovery from your medical condition is going very well. You sound great. I mean, you sound like you always do. So it sounds like you're doing really well.
Yeah.
And we're very glad to hear that.
Yeah, so in that aspect, it's going good. Unfortunately, I will have to do a radiation iodine. I will have to do it in November. So I'm not quite out of the woods yet. They said hopefully it should be a one and done. I'll have to be away from everybody for 3 or 4 days because I tell my son, I'll be like the Hulk and I'll be radiating. So it's just for their safety and all. But then after that, hopefully we'll be good.
Well, definitely good wishes to you both as a friend and as a valuable member of our community. And glad you're doing well. Just keep us posted on that. James did talk to Scott earlier in the year regarding in detail the medical issue, and it's available on our archives for those who may want to listen. We appreciate you being open about it, James, as it'll help other people, and yeah. It's very unselfish of you to do that, and we appreciate it. Again, you're valued as a friend as well as a naturalist and expert in flora and fauna in this community, and as we just talked about, points beyond. James Anderson, our guest here on the Adam Lepp Radio Program, mid-morning coffee break, computer guy, and all kinds of other things that we find. We get our hands dirty and our brain cells stimulated in, of course, September, James. It's already back to school time. You already see Christmas trees at some of the stores. So definitely in a transition period. And I would imagine September is going to be a very busy month for the Park District. So let folks know what's going on for the transition month of 09-23.
Yeah, so yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, we got some exciting things coming up for the month of September. On the 6th, at 6 o'clock p.m., we're having a wetland exploration program. This will be at Marion Tallgrass Trail. So we'll be kind of talking about wetlands for a little bit at the trailhead, and then we will go down by around the lake, kind of there, right behind, there's kind of some wetland areas in there, and we'll have some nets. So please, please make sure to wear old clothes, boots. You know, you don't mind getting dirty or wet because, we're going to be exploring some of the critters that live there. And again, that's on the 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. On the 16th, we are excited to have back the Paleontology in the Park event. So if you're not familiar with paleontology, it's basically the study of prehistoric animals such as dinosaurs, mammoths, saber-toothed tigers, and all that good jazz. So the event is from 1 to 5 p.m. Now, it's a come-as-you-go. You don't have to be there for the whole time. But it's for all ages. I mean, we got stuff for the little ones, older kids, even adults. You can come out. So learn about the Marion Mammoth. Also, too, we have the Ohio Geological Surveys coming out again. And also the Columbus Zoo. They're coming out again with their Nina the Allosaurus costume. So great time, great photo opportunity. So again, that's on the 16th from 1 to 5 p.m. And also to kind of mention about that, if you're listening, we're always looking for volunteers, help for setup, tear down, help running the event. You do not have to be an expert in dinosaurs. I'll admit, I am not an expert in dinosaurs. My one volunteer, Wayne Fowler, he's the one that actually plans this whole event. I just try to bring in people to help. On the 20th, this is a little different for the Park District. Every month we have a Park Board meeting. We typically meet every third Thursday around noon at the County Building, but two meetings a year. We do it at a different time and at a different location because some people are not able to meet at that time on our usual times. So this one will be, again, on the 20th, which is the Wednesday. It'll be at 6 o'clock p.m. Now, the location, yes, will be at Tallgrass Trail, but we're going to meet at the Her Road parking lot. So there's that gazebo right there around the lake. We just saw it. It's a different view. So this is a great if you want to, you know, give an input, you know, about the Marion County Park District, maybe some ideas you have, maybe some concerns. We're always open, you know, for anybody that wants to bring anything like that to the table. So, it is open up to the community. So come on out for the Park Board meeting. And then, as you mentioned earlier, we have the downtown Marion Third Thursday event. We'll be there from about 4 to 8 o'clock. And again, I believe this is the last one for the year, so come check us out. Then on the 23rd, from 9:30 to 11 o'clock, we have our night hike at the park program. That's at Tallgrass Trail. And we will be doing some fun nighttime experiments. We just please ask to bring some type of red light. I just recommend if you go to like Lowe's, Walmart, Menards, anywhere you can buy those headlamps, they can usually convert to white or to red. And I won't go into much detail, but the big thing is it helps with our night vision. So, and then our last program for September on the 28th at 6:30 p.m., we have our Paw Paw program. at the Paradise Nature Preserve. And I know we have talked about it when Charlie was alive, and I know when I've been on Glenn Koval's program, but the pawpaws, if you're not familiar, it's our state's native fruit. Yes, they do grow here in Marion County, so I will be bringing some pawpaw fruits for people to try. So, yeah, come and learn about this unique plant that you can find here in the state of Ohio. And that is our month for the for our programs for September, excuse me.
Well, sounds like September is going to be a productive month, educational and very eye-opening. And when you do the events, James, you learn something, too. It's not just the participants. You mentioned...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You were looking for volunteers. And have we gotten a good a team of volunteers? Is it a problem getting them? And how can we encourage people to volunteer? It's a great... something who's retired, for example... looking for something to do that's productive and educational. What kind of success have you had getting volunteers, and how can we encourage people that this is a great thing to get involved in?
Yeah, so, I mean, we had a pretty good volunteer group. We actually have our sister organization. It's called the Friends of the Prairie Parks, which is basically our volunteer group. Now, I admit, when COVID hit and all, a lot of our volunteers are elderly, you know, congregating into an area, and we're slowly building back up. But yeah, we're always looking for people, and not just for the events like paleontology in the park. I mean, also too with trail maintenance, also too, like if a tree falls down, if you have some basic cutting skills of a chainsaw, or even if you want to just help meet somebody that has a chainsaw, just help taking out the brush, because yeah, we are basically a volunteer base park district. That's what kind of makes us unique versus most other park districts do have a lot of, you know, paid maintenance people and natural resource managers and all that. I'm the only technical paid employee, and then everybody else is just volunteer. So again, we're very, very blessed, but again, we're always looking for people. But yeah, if you ever want to get in contact, if you're on social media like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like and follow us and send us up a message and saying, hey, I'd like to help out, I'd like to help volunteer. Or you can call our park district office at 740-223-4161. Again, that's 740-223-4161. And, of course, I can get you up to date of, you know, where you want to go from between education to maintenance or whatever, and we definitely can find a spot for you.
So we certainly encourage people to volunteer and try it. If you don't like it, you're not bound to continue doing it, but
that's right.
To me, it seems like being involved with nature around people who know the area so well, how could you not enjoy that? It seems like a no-brainer to me, and good exercise. It's many advantages, I think. So certainly we encourage people looking for some opportunities to be in the community and learn something to grow as a person, that volunteering really is quite the way to go. James, we have talked about this in the past, kind of a regular thing during the change of the seasons, but with the colder weather coming, and I guess we can say November maybe being the first cold month, and you mentioned you have a medical situation to attend to, but snow starts falling, it gets frosty, the leaves fall. Don't necessarily think that that means that the park district goes into hibernation. Sometimes it's one of the most exciting times of the year, as the animals live, obviously, 12 months out of the year, some going into hibernation, and anything up your sleeve for the later time of the year toward Christmas time. And also let our listeners know, James, exactly how are things different during the colder weather season as we get this change in climate, which we will see again a little later this year.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm always doing the nature programs. I actually, at this time, or during that time of year, I do especially a lot of programming with a lot of the nursing homes, the local nursing homes in Marion County, school groups. We tend to do a lot more programming as well. And then, of course, with the beginning of the year of 2024 for January, February, March, we have our winter hike series that will be coming out and about. So we'll be always excited about that. But yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, nature is always going on. I mean, yes, like you mentioned, there are some that go into hibernation, but of course you do have some wildlife that are always going to be active. And of course, you know, with it being colder too, not as many people. So if you're definitely a person who, you know, are not don't like to be around big crowds or what, sometimes I tell people, you know, sometimes the wintertime is the best time. And of course, the people who are not fond of snakes, I get some people who that they only come out during the wintertime because they know that's when the snakes will not be on the trail. So yeah, and again, the snakes are harmless, and I know we've mentioned that hundreds and hundreds of times on your station. But you know, that's just something to think about if you're, again, if you're not fond of the slithery friends.
So for some people, this is actually a better time. It's not as hot, not as humid. Of course, we get much less daylight. So, if it's not so cold, you can't go outside, and you know, that means if, you know, temperatures at least freezing and not getting blustery type conditions, the events go on, and sometimes they're even more interesting in the cold weather season. What you mentioned, James, you do indoor presentations, you go to nursing homes and other facilities, and to me, what better way is there in your later years as a nursing home person, I would assume it includes employees also, to learn about the environment that you're in. You feel closer to nature. You do learn something. It's something a little different than what you might associate nursing home activities to be. And how is that going? And I know since you've become an employee of the Park District, it's obviously grown quite a bit. So tell us a bit about how that works and how can a nursing home administrator or nursing home resident get in touch to request that you do, but make a presentation.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny how that all started. It was actually, I think, it was my second year into the Park District. Of course, my first year was very, you know, I was new. I was just trying to help start a foundation of, you know, my programming situation. And I know I have some friends who are naturalists or environmental educators, you know, all across Ohio or other parts of the country. And one of my friends, you know, had on their thing about, you know, doing some programming in certain nursing homes. And I said, you know what? I said, maybe I might dig into that. I said, and because, you know, the wintertime, I see, you know, I'm not as busy. So I did some research. And boy, I did not realize there are a lot of different nursing home facilities in Marion County. Because where I live in Morrow County, I think we only have two. Marion, I can't remember. They have at least a dozen or more. So you definitely keep very, very busy. And of course, I love seeing the reaction on a lot of their faces, and I've had some of them tell me, because I guess a lot of their presenters are usually something in the medical field, or sometimes it's music, which is fine and all, but I try to make it very interesting. And of course, I love hearing their stories or backgrounds, because, you know, they got to experience what it was like, you know, when deer and turkey and eagles, like you mentioned, when they were consider once an endangered animal or not very common animal, and now they're all over. So just hearing a lot of that background, I really love learning that, especially, you know, within our local area. So but yes, to get a hold of me, again, if you're on the social media, again, the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, on the Marion Tallgrass Trail, again, the office phone number at 740-223-4161, and that's the best way to get a hold of me.
So in some ways, speaking at the nursing homes is one of the most rewarding things that you do. People don't realize how much is going on and the fact that they're naturally interested in the world around us. I don't know how you possibly could not be. Adam here, winding down our show with Mr. James Anderson from the Marion, Ohio County Park District. He's the official naturalist. We've covered the recent programs from August, and we've covered what's coming up in September. Now, you also speak at the schools, and now school is in full gear. Everyone's back to school, including your own offspring, James. And
yes.
How is that? How does it go when you do speak at the schools? Is that something a little more common during the school year? And if you have spoken, at your son's school, and I get that, imagine that's gone pretty well also.
So it was really interesting last year, or last school season, I should say. I had a lot of requests during the fall season, because I don't know what it is. It's during the spring. That's when I usually get pounded with requests for programs, especially with the elementary kids, because what happens is they're all done with their lessons, and all these teachers need, especially like that first last week or so before summer break, it's like they need some form of entertainment or guest speaker or what to help fill in that time. So, yeah, in the springtime, I usually just bombarded with all the especially the elementary schools. But then this school season, or I should sorry, the last school season, I got a lot of requests, especially with the city schools. So I was really pleased because in the past, I mean, I tried to get into all the schools. River Valley's been the most the easiest to work with, and but the city schools, I did a lot, especially I would say most of the elementaries. I did about how to classify animals and plants, you know, based on their levels of organization and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you're a teacher or no teacher, and yeah, my services are free within Marion County. So, anything outside of Marion County, we do have a charge. And yes, I have done programs at my son's school. So, yeah, he's always tickled when Dad gets to come in and do a lesson.
So, I'd imagine you would be one of the best show and tell projects, a living, breathing person who actually is doing a show and tell of his own, explaining about the wildlife in the area. Must be cool to have a father who can do that, and I'm sure he's quite proud. I would imagine when you talk to students, kids, you know, James, are naturally curious. I mean, I'm naturally curious, and I haven't been a kid in a long time, but I would think they do learn a lot. They ask some questions, and probably a few questions that actually stump you because you're not even quite sure of the answer because it's something that you might not have thought of. Kids are so good at that. I mean, you're talking about speaking with older people in nursing homes and younger people in schools. Do you find the younger kids, the first, second graders, are they better, more interesting and stimulating? That is in terms of asking surprise questions than the high school kids, or is their way to divide it, or they all kind of interesting in their own way?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, they're all interesting in their own way, but I would agree with you. I think the elementary kids, yes, I think they ask more questions. For instance, some of the high schoolers, you know, you got some of them are intrigued, and of course you got some others like, oh, it's just another class.
Yeah, you get the apathy sometimes, which is a shame. I would think someone like yourself, people should be glued to the demonstration and ask questions and possibly want to get involved. I mean, that's the best way to learn if you might want to be an intern. So apologize if some students do have that apathetic approach, but I think it's worthwhile because there are those who do find it to be something that's a learning experience as well as just entertainment. You know, animals, they're surprising. They are entertaining. Do you sometimes, like you do here in the studio, James, do you sometimes bring in animals, that is, other than Homo sapiens or plants, when you speak in schools? Does that help at all? If you bring in a garter snake or a polar bear or a squirrel, does that help at all? Maybe stimulate some interest, especially with the older kids?
Yes. When you bring in critters, everybody's eyes light up.
So definitely a good idea. If any other people in your business are listening, do bring in an animal or plant of some kind, and that will certainly stimulate interest. And plus, when we talked about the pawpaws a few months ago, you brought one in, and I ate it, and it was actually really good. I was surprised how good it was, and I learned about the pawpaw fruit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's a fascinating study in pop culture here in Ohio, as it's an official fruit of the state, I believe. It does taste really good.
Yep.
And, of course, I guess you can grow it. Can't always grow fruits here because we don't have enough of the warm weather. But bringing in these souvenirs definitely does bring home what you can do as part of the park district. Before we let you go here, James, as my mama always said, time always flies when you're having fun. And what more fun is it than to talk about the world around us? It's a lighter topic with all the serious stuff going on in the world. But it's also important, as I think we need to know about what we share our world with, not just other people, but the plants, the other members of the animal kingdom, and just about everything else. Remind our listeners how to get in touch with and follow you and the Park District and affiliated organizations on the good old social media.
Yes. So again, Facebook. Now, when it comes to Facebook, we have two Facebook pages. We have the Marion Tallgrass Trail, the Marion County Park District. We manage them both the same, so it doesn't matter. You can do both or just one or the other. But when it comes to the other ones, Instagram and Twitter, again, just put in Marion County Park District or Marion Tallgrass Trail. I think they'll both pop up that way. And then also, too, on YouTube, we do have a lot of fun educational videos on there. So we, you know, when we're talking about teachers, you know, if you want to, especially for high school students, if you want to present that to high school students, I definitely try to make sure to, you know, incorporate what were the learning standards and all that. Also, too, we do put a lot of fun, quirky little fun videos in there. And I try to build up my YouTube channel, so not as good as Jonas, as we were, last month with him. You know, he's got like over 4,000. I just barely broke over 400. So, but you know, we're getting there. But again, that's the easiest way to get a hold of us. And I know we've mentioned our office phone number. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge because I'm only in there about once a week or so to answer a phone call.
So many ways, James, to be in touch in this virtual world that we call home. Of course, Twitter, now known as X. Maybe it'll have a different name next year. But whatever our listeners' choice of social media is, you are there and providing information, entertainment, and letting people know what kind of events and other fascinating occurrences will be happening with the Park District. And always a surprise or two. And sometimes, as we talked about earlier, we unfortunately need to cancel an event, weather being one of the common reasons, obviously. That's always posted on your social media. And so people should definitely check to make sure an event will take place. And in Ohio, you don't like the weather, stick around. It'll change sometimes in 5 minutes. So keep that in mind, and that's all part of the fun, because with changeable weather becomes changeable conditions and maybe some surprises when people attend these events. Well, James Anderson, thank you again for being with us here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Again, we have an archive of dozens of times that James has been on the air with us, previously with the late Charlie Evers. And then he was also on with Glenn Coble. If you go to the archive section in our website, or for Charlie, this Charlie's Own section, because he had so many shows, you can listen to the previous episodes with James. And he's also been on with me, Adam, for the last few months. And we certainly appreciate that. Always a good time. I always learn something. Not sure if James learns anything, but at least he gets to giggle a few times. And any show with Adam will certainly elicit a laugh or two. Thanks again, James. Stay well, and we'll talk to you again soon. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Feel free to send me an email with questions, comments, suggestions, and complaints, or combinations of the above, to Adam at WWGH1071.com.